Welcome to the podcast of Scott Street MB Church. We hope you find this message inspiring and encouraging in your walk as a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm glad you're all here this morning, that you've been able to brave the elements. The main roads are really good, but how many found that the side streets present a little bit of a challenge? How many have already taken your snow tires off by mistake? Winter's not quite done with us yet, but I'm glad you're here. I believe if there are two pillars upon which the church is built, they would be doubtless prayer and the Word of God. And last week we looked at the absolute necessity that this church, this house of God, be known as a house of prayer. In fact, God insisted on it. That was his one requirement. I'll try not to yell at you this week like I did last week. And today we want to look at the power that is contained in the Word of God, the Bible, and see what it says about itself and its impact on our spiritual life. And I believe in the power of the Word of God. It's already been mentioned this morning, the power that is in the Word. And that it should be given a very high priority whenever we get together, whenever we join together on a Sunday morning. In fact, in one church for well over 2 years, I would have the congregation stand together before I would preach. I'll not do that this morning. But I would ask them to take their Bibles and hold them high. And last week I asked you to bring your Bibles with you because I think it's important that we have the Word of God in the church. And I would have everybody just hold their Bibles at that time. And here's what we would say. We would say this as the congregation says, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same." And we did that week after week after week, and there was a note of victory that began to creep in as people were saying, "Yes, my Bible is important. What it has to say is important." And I would love to hear the sound of the pages turning as we would look for different scriptures. It was very interesting as we repeated week after week, people began bringing their Bibles to church. And some at the beginning didn't have their Bibles, so they'd hold up a hymn book, you know, or what. And in our days today, you can hold up your phone. How many read your Bible on your phone? Yeah, quite a few. And they would hold up whatever device they had that contained the Word of God. And they would begin to see in the pages of their own Bible the truth that was being proclaimed. And they got used to looking up scriptures and finding where they were in this great book. I remember teaching brand new Christians some of the scriptures over the years. And they would say, "What's the address?" And they would try to find where it was in the Word of God. And often people will say, "I never knew that was in there," when we come into a specific truth. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And why? Well, verse 17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the word inspiration literally means God breathed. God breathed. Now we see this process in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." process of inspiration is God by His Spirit breathed into the hearts of those who are writing down the scriptures, and they wrote down what God inspired them to do. They had their own personality, their own way of saying it, but the truth was a nugget that God gave to them. He breathed into their hearts the truth that He would have them write down. And again, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The NIV says, men spoke from God. So we see this process of inspiration. Therefore, that sets this book apart from any other book that you are going to ever have. God is the inspiration. God is the author of this book that we call the Bible. This is His word to us. It's been described as God's instruction manual for life. And I believe that's true. So basic to our understanding and valuing of the Bible is that this is no ordinary book. It was written not by man's imagination, as some would say. And the interesting thing about it was written by over 40 people over a span of 1,600 years, yet it has a cohesiveness and a thread of redemption that is woven all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. There's a common theme. And that theme, as we examine it, would be the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That is the thread of redemption that's woven all the way through the Bible. It says, we heard it read, as Travis read, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word beginning means the origin, before the world was ever created. And we have this powerful understanding that what we have come to know as the Word of God, or the Bible, was and is in fact Jesus Himself, the Son of God. We have the Word, which is called the Logos in the Greek, which is God with God. So Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So immediately we see a correlation between the written Word, which is our Bible, and the revealed Word, which is Jesus, who came to reveal the nature of God. And that's why I like to encourage people, when you are reading the Word of God, what this is actually an autobiography of Jesus as who He is. We have the spoken Word, and we have the revealed Word. And verse 14 of John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That in itself is an amazing thing. Where you realize that God, in the form of the Son, took on humanity in order to fully convey the nature of God to us and to build a bridge from us back to God. And when you read the Word of God, you are reading part of what Jesus is. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now, some like to make a distinction between the written Word and Jesus, what He is. But I find a correlation there. I find something that's one and the same, where this reveals the nature of Jesus. When you're reading that, it helps us understand who God is. So picture this. When we're holding and reading the Bible, what we actually have is the written representation of Jesus. The spoken Word, the revealed Word, and He reveals Himself through that. That's how we understand who He is and what He has for us. You see, when He chose to dwell among us, right here on earth, He was created just as one of us. He took on human flesh. He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. We find that wonderful picture of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Folks, there's power in the word of God, and is able to tear away all of our excuses and get right to the heart of the matter. Now, this morning, I want to look at some very practical ways that the Word of God helps us. And David the psalmist found that there were incredibly valuable resources in the Word of God, and he revealed some of these truths in the Psalms. Let's turn over to Psalm 119. Now, Psalms are always easy to find because if you hold your Bible upright and you open it in the middle, you'll be in the Psalms. Isn't that nice to know? How many knew that already? I'll take it the rest of you didn't. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, David says this. He says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's interesting that David here makes a direct correlation between the internalizing of the Word of God and his ability to refrain from sinful activities. Now, somebody once said, "This book can keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." That's something to think about. The more you read, the more you internalize the Word of God, the greater your ability to recognize sin for what it is and to say no to it, as the Spirit of God gives you that power. Now, David also revealed in verse 105 of verse 119, that's just over a few pages. Psalm 119 is a long book. So if you're in the habit of reading one chapter before bed, you need to get ready for this one. Verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Okay, now anyone who's ever tried to walk in the darkness knows that shining a light on the pathway helps so very much. And John's gospel echoes this. Travis read it earlier in verse 4. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not overcome it." No matter how dark a room, even the smallest light is not extinguished by the darkness. And that's what the Word of God is in this dark world. It lights our pathway, it gives us illumination, and lets us see in the darkness. Now, in our natural sinful state, it's like we're stumbling around in the darkness trying to make sense of this world while we're not able to even understand it. We need the light of God's word to see, to understand, to get it. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he says, "Nicodemus, you must be born again, or else you won't see the kingdom of God. You won't understand it." Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 17. He says, "Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth." See, we need God's light, his word, to get it, to understand. And he also taught us in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. He says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Knowing the truth sets us free. Not knowing the truth binds us up or holds us captive. Jesus came that we might know the truth. He wants all of us to be set free from sin. In fact, he gave his life to set us free from sin. And he shows us exactly how through his word. Now, it's amazing how much of God's word that he has given to us that most Christians are not aware of. There's promises that they know nothing about. There are strengths and comforts that are foreign to them. There is a relationship with God that is outlined in the pages of the book that he has given to us that goes unused because the book is unread. God himself promises in Isaiah chapter 55. He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God sent this to us to help us to live the life that Jesus came to model. Jesus has taken this and explained it to us in living form so that we might know the truth and the truth might make us free. So, what has his word been sent for? Well, here's just a few things that the word of God can do for us. Now, you may wish to look these up. And I don't know if you like to underline things in your Bible. I tend to do that. I tend to underline things that I want my eyes to go to as I flip through the pages. How many of you do that? I tried doing it on my phone, but it just messed it up. Doesn't work. When computers were first coming out, they used to have a joke that you can always tell when someone who doesn't know how to use a computer is using yours, because there's whiteout all over the screen. Now that dates us, because most of you guys don't know what whiteout is. So what's the word been sent for? Here's a few things. In Psalm 107, verse 20, it says that the word of God can bring healing to our body. It says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." There's tremendous healing power in the word of God. We still believe that he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that heals. And it says he sent his word and healed them. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it produces faith in our life. It says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What does that mean? Well, let me explain it. When we hear what God does, we see the miracles that are performed. And earlier this morning, as I was reading in the book of 2 Kings, I was seeing the miracles that God did through the life of the prophet Elisha. I'm thinking, wow, he's the same God today as he's always been. And I see that what I hear in the word of God, I read it, what that does is that increases my ability to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I hear what God is doing in your life, that builds my faith. That gives me a greater ability to believe that God can do it for me as well. In Psalm 19, it says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." What's that mean? That means when I hear what God is doing in other people's lives, this simple guy can believe that God is able to do it for me as well. And my faith is increased. And the more I read the word of God, the more the Spirit of God lets that faith grow in my life to believe for even greater things. Reading the word of God. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, if you have the same Bible that I do, which you probably don't, it's on page 1746. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, tells us the word of God is able to give us wisdom and make us wise. Paul's saying to Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In that verse, we have four major themes. What do we have? We have wisdom from God. We have faith through the Holy Spirit. We have salvation, and we have Jesus Christ. Those four major themes contained in that one single verse. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see that it's able to shape our lives. It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. These are things that we need. There's a scripture in the Proverbs that says that the reproofs of life are what shape us and direct our lives. What's that mean? That means that there's pressures that God allows to keep us going on the straight and narrow. We're driving down a road. There's lines that are guidelines, and there's guardrails to keep us from going off the road. Those things help us to keep going in a straight pattern, and the Word of God, with its principles and its commands, are able to keep our lives going straight, but only if we read them. Only if we know that they are there. The prophet Jeremiah said that the Word of God was able to bring joy to his heart. He said in chapter 15 and verse 16, says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Are you ever feeling sad? Are you ever feeling discouraged? Take some time in the Word of God. I find when my heart is troubled, and I take some time, the Word of God, and let the Spirit of God speak to me, it's not too long before the joy of the Lord begins to well up inside my heart. And I realize that these temporary things that cause me stress are only temporary, but the Word of God abides forever. Something begins to grow and develop in me, and the Spirit of God is able to bring the joy that wasn't there before. Where you realize that things that don't matter really don't matter. And the things that do matter are everlasting. Well, there's two more here that signifies the beginning and the end. And here it's talking about what God says. One is the creation of the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, we take this scripture and we overlay it with the text that Travis read earlier. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. It says, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So in John, we see that Jesus is the Word. And in Genesis, we see that God said, let there be light. And in Hebrews, it says that by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We see all of these things begin to dovetail together. We see the creative element within what God says, the Word, and Jesus. All of these things come together. Again, we've got the written word, and we've got the revealed word, which is Jesus. And these two come together. We are here because God said so. We're held together by His word. And all through the creation account in Genesis, we see the words, and God said. So right from the very beginning, we see the Word of God in activity. But then there will also be the destruction of the world. And in 2 Peter it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same Word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Science will tell us that when you break all matter down to its simplest forms, what we have is energy. It takes different forms, and in the laws of thermodynamics, it says that energy cannot be created or destroyed. You take a piece of wood, you'll set fire to it, you're not destroying the energy, you're changing it. You're changing it from a solid into a heat. You can't destroy it, you just change it. And we take all of these things that we see around us. We see this pulpit, it's made out of wood, it's made out of fabric. You break it down to its simplest forms, it's energy. You take our body, you break it down to its simplest form, it's energy. And what is it that causes these things to hold its shape? What is it that causes it not to fly off in all directions? The Word of God, because He says so. It says, they're now preserved by the same Word. I pity those people who want God out of their lives. Because if for one second He ceased to have a touch on their lives, every cell in their body would just go off in every direction. Can you imagine a world without God? It's impossible. It's impossible. You're here today in the form that you are because God says so. And I am so glad that this God who says so has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And I now have a personal relationship with Him. I have committed my life to Him. I've entrusted Him with the salvation of my soul. And I've trusted Him with the salvation of my eternal life. And I have a hope that when this life is over, I will be with Him forever. That is my hope. And it's based on what I understand in the Word of God. So what's our response? What's our response to this awesome power that's contained in the Word of God? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." See, that's God's charge to us who teach and preach the Word of God, to do so correctly and accurately, being sure that what is being taught is not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law as well. I'm going to invite Carmen and Austin, the team, to come back up, because that's the responsibility of those who teach and preach. Now, what is the responsibility of those that hear the Word of God? Please turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1. So I want you to see it in your Bible. James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 22 to verses 25 as I close this morning. Here's what it says. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Dear Lord, let your Spirit write this on our hearts. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Listening. For any questions about the message or to contact any of our pastors, please visit scottstreetchurch.ca.